Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You've seen what he did on Facebook, right?
Listen, I'm gonna make a motherfucking emoji like this. Look.
Donna D. Beyonce Production.
BoxingVoice.com.
All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got. I want what Mayweather got. You done bust your ass like Mayweather.
It was balls, no fight.
My life has always been a fight.
I sacrificed a lot to get to where I got to.
You don't think you're being overly critical to a guy that took a body shot and go down?
That's no pressure. That's just my style. My style is to dominate. I want to get the guy. I want to stop the guy. You know, my motto is man down.
BoxingVoice.com.
Why you mad?
I'm not saying the man can't take body shots. Wait for motherfucking March.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another breaking news edition. We're going to be discussing today's New York City press conference. It's a two-city press tour. It's a big fight pay-per-view live March 18th on HBO. So you know we got to talk a little bit of Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs. The face-off happened, the press conf happened, and Jacobs looked a little bigger than Gennady, but we've been here before. I believe Martin Murray was a bit bigger, but let's head over into Sunshine State and get the good doctor's prognosis.
Boxing, what's going on, brother? I know you want to sit in on this.
We're gonna head on over to a doctor, Sunshine State,
Sunshine
Boxing
State.
MD. What's going on?
Is that a fair statement to me? You have to be honest with yourself.
Glad to be back today. The Nestor Gibbs of the Boxing Voice was representing us for part one of part two of the press conference. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention via social media, but hashtag GGG Jacobs was trending via social media, which could only be a good thing, right? But the people who are going to be negative say, well, when Anthony Joshua takes his shit, right, he's trending on social media. We only have what we could work with over here. So let's at least be optimistic, because 2 months away from the fight, at least people are paying attention, which is a positive thing. So let's pray and hope that this does better than 100 and something thousand pay-per-view buys, that this projects GGG into become a household name.
And since it's a coast-to-coast press tour, let's head on over to the West Coast. Matthew, what's going on, brother? I know you watched this one live on the HBO live YouTube stream of this press conference. We're here. What's your thoughts?
I thought it was interesting because I didn't watch it live. I watched it on the replay, but it was the full live stream. So I watched every bit of it that if you were watching it live, you would have seen. There was a bunch of technical difficulties at the beginning of the press conference, which I think, you know, when I was talking about, you know, hyping up a fight, press for a fight, how boxing is sort of archaic. And there was times where it felt that way at the beginning of the press conference. But like MD said, on a positive note, it was trending on Twitter. It does seem like a big fight. I got hyped just from hearing almost the tension in everyone's voice at the press conference. You can tell that it just feels like a big fight, even though I may think it's a stylistic mismatch in certain ways, and I think there's a clear winner in this bout. I still felt some hype around it, even though there were some technical difficulties, which I'll get into later.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some hype surrounded around this one, but he's still an 8-1 underdog. You know, I'm going to be posting some behind-the-scenes footage of the press conference to all our Patreon members on Patreon, and you're going to get a lot of the experts' take, right? You know, I rushed them with the camera. Guys like Thomas Hauser, Tim Smith, Mitch Abramson, Woodsy, you know, just about everybody that was there, Michael Coppinger from USA Today, everyone who I could get on camera. And probably only one guy out of the media picked Daniel Jacobs.
Was there a Dan Raphael sighting?
No, he was not. He's from D.C. And because
ESPN's cutting that budget.
Or he didn't want to make the trip. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is, no one wanted to be honest on camera. I guess it was like you can't pick against the guy that is a symbol for, you know, overcoming, you know, cancer, I guess. I'm not everyone was like, oh, I mean, I would tell you, but you got the camera on. It's like, they want to pick Jacob secretly or don't want to pick him against him publicly.
Are you talking about boxers or media members?
Media.
Okay, fair enough.
There weren't very many boxers there. Now, this is obviously going to be a New York City press conference review, and we'll be giving our slight critiques. And you can see here, this is live footage from the Boxing Voice. So, you know, it's so funny that this fight is a mandatory fight, right, where one champion had to face another champion. There is no title on display for Daniel Jacobs. There was no title mentioned for Daniel Jacobs, and he was introduced as a challenger.
So they took away his Cracker Jack belt before the press conference?
I don't know. You know, speaking of Cracker Jack belts, my Patreon guys, you're going to get to hear my one-on-one, and I'm talking completely one-on-one. I mean, shout out to Tom Lawther and Bernie who handle Triple G, you know what I mean? They really treated me well. Took me all the way in the back and, you know, had me in the hallway. And, you know, I'm interviewing the manager of Daniel Jacobs, right? Keith Connolly. As you can see, he's to the right of Daniel Jacobs now, in between he and Andre Rozier. He's the white guy who basically let me know he's been knowing Jacobs since he was about 14. He scouted him in the New York Golden Gloves in Madison Square Garden. But when Gennady came out of that back room, brother, I left him interview in hand, turned smooth around like, hold up, Gennady, stop right now. Give me my one-on-one. The way he going around telling Canelo, give me my belt. I was like, give me my one-on-one. Give me my one-on-one. So we did talk about belts, you know what I mean? And we talked about that Fight Doctor lineage, that Ring TV belt. And yo, he basically, I mean, it's going to be funny for the Patreon guys to get to see it because, you know, he's basically shrugging his shoulders like, what the fuck is that? What belt is that? Who cares? You know, he's really on a who cares about Canelo this time around. It's not really like, oh, yeah, he's not playing nice with Canelo. I did try to, you know, set him up for a good headline quote because I'm like, are you secretly expecting or wanting this to do extremely well so that now you can be in the driver's seat in negotiations? I mean, if this is a fucking million pay-per-views, well, then Gennady just might, you know, be in the driver's seat versus Canelo because, I mean, Canelo did 900 with Cotto, but Daniel was no Cotto. So if somehow that gets there, you know, it's funny because I had high expectations for Lemieux. So my bubble was burst when they came down as low as 150. I thought Golovkin is a star. You know, you talk about him and people know him. Casuals love him. You know, he's exciting, right? So I don't know. But well, what were your guys' take? Again, I'm sure you watched it.
Well, let me just go back on what you just said about the million. Obviously, a million year, it's like miracles happen, but not that. But it's, yes, all of us, at least me and you, I don't know what Matt's estimation was. We were shocked the lack of pay-per-view sales that the David Lemieux fight occurred. But we have to remember that almost 2 years will have passed since the two pay-per-views. And it's almost inarguable. You cannot say that Golovkin's name in the public eye hasn't been elevated since then. Part of it is the Canelo talk, obviously, with the belt being dropped and the rumors. And the other part of it is the fight that a lot of people had a problem with, which was with the Brook fight, which did help bring his international name, which I don't know how will affect the domestic pay-per-view sales, but his name is increasing. So I think that it'll do much better than his first one, regardless. And also, Danny Jacobs' name is bigger than David Lemieux.
Speaking of domestic,
quickly, what's much better? Is it double 150,000 pay per view buys? You know, what's the much better for you, MD? Like, what's that definition for you?
I think between 200,000 and 300,000 pay per view buys would be a success.
I think that's realistic too. I don't think that's out of the question. Obviously, we are really far out from the fight. They're both Jacobs and Triple G were obviously up their media presence in New York City about a week out from the fight. And that's when we can really gauge how much public and casual interest is there in this bout. And I think there is more than David Lemieux. And you're right, MD. I think Daniel Jacobs is obviously more known in that market. He is an American, and that does something. That actually does help in the American pay-per-view market. You know, if a Canadian is not as well known, that doesn't sell as well, unfortunately. Unless you're like a George St. Pierre, there's never really been a Canadian pay-per-view star in combat sports in terms of the U.S. So I think we're going to see an uptick in pay-per-view buys, but I don't see that having any play in the negotiation for Canelo and Triple G.
Well, and I also think in addition to the sorry, Ness, I'll let you in. I think in addition to his name being bigger, I think that the perception of Daniel Jacobs is different than David Lemieux because he has that knockout win over Peter Quillen, which they will show over and over again leading up to the fight. So I think that David Lemieux, who never really had a marquee win that could at least present him, besides the power that he had against lower-level competition, there was no win to say, oh, he could beat Golovkin now. Now, a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but some people are picking Daniel Jacobs, and it has to be solely based on what he showed against Peter Quillen. Because besides that, I don't see any evidence of him being competitive.
I don't know, man. That sounds harsh. You don't see any evidence. Okay, so what is the evidence what concrete evidence can you give us that he won't be competitive?
Well, I'm saying before the Daniel Jacobs fight, if I would have said Golovkin's next opponent is not Kid Chocolate, is not David Lemieux, even is Peter Quillen, you would have laughed it off. In fact, we had a caller, forgot his name exactly. I apologize. I know you call in regularly. I think it maybe is Milkman, or I don't know exactly. He used to laugh off him being the number one Daniel Jacobs fan. And this, of course, was before the Peter Quillen fight. So I don't know. I mean, are you talking
about? Oh, you're talking about JD. JD. And yes, I used to laugh off because he is like the only lone fan that calls in and is always like, Daniel Jacobs, you'll see. Daniel Jacobs. And you know what? He was right when they fought Peter Quillen.
Right. Okay. So, but what I'm saying is listen, there's obviously no concrete evidence. You cannot say concrete evidence to dismissive of the fight. But Ness, other than the Peter Quillen fight, can you tell me a fight that he showed a pedigree that is warranted of somebody picking him against Golovkin? What has he shown? What has he proved?
Not pedigree, right? Because obviously then, you know, you use pedigree, you think resume. So it's difficult to use that. But, you know, he has shown things and he's been in there with other fighters that, you know, posed or at least presented different styles. And I mean, but look, that's cool. I mean, so you still haven't really said anything other than who has he beat?
Well, I mean, like I said, like, what has he shown? Like, has he shown his ability to switch gears?
But what about eye tests? I mean, you're the guy who talks.
You want to tag me in, MD?
One second. The eye test, right? The eye test is that Daniel Jacobs has quick hands, but he doesn't necessarily shut up. I don't know. What do you mean by eye test? His eye test is that the only big knockout win he's had recently was against Peter Quillen, and he was winging punches. He was winging punches, and he landed first, and he knocked out Quillen. It wasn't like he set up those shots systematically throughout the rounds. So I'm not saying he looked bad on the eye test. I'm saying that his eye test doesn't show me anything to be competitive with Golovkin, especially considering in his fight before the Quillen fight, he was dropped It was not a slippage. He was dropped by a feather-fisted Sergio Mora.
Is he not as good a boxer as the media wants to make him out to be for the storyline of this fight?
Of course he's not. Of course he's not, because I don't know what Daniel Jacobs does better than Golovkin, with the exception of, I guess, maybe hand speed. And the thing about hand speed is it doesn't matter if your feet are not in the right position. So you know what I mean? So if your feet are in the wrong position and you use your hand speed, you're going to get knocked out. And I think that that's the biggest mistake people have, right? I've never seen Daniel Jacobs fight off the back foot. I've never seen him do any of the things that people think he could do to win. So I don't know. I would like somebody to present a better case than – what?
Did you watch Daniel Jacobs versus Ishae Smith?
I don't remember that fight. Maybe I've seen it.
That's a good fight to go back and watch. Smith
gave him it's a decent one, yeah.
Smith gave him a good fight.
Well, Matt go,
isn't Triple G, though. Ishae Smith isn't Triple G. That's the big difference.
Yeah, Matt, go ahead. You were salivating at the
I think – well, like, you know, MD knows. I think this fight doesn't last, you know, after three rounds. I think Daniel Jacobs presents – a lot of style issues for himself, in a sense. Like, his footwork is atrocious, like MD said. His feet are too close together all the time. His feet are out of position. When you punch, your head is supposed to be in the same line as your waist and in between your feet. And most of the time when he's really, like, jabbing, throwing a hard jab, he's lunging and leaning way too far over his front feet. And that presents issues for counters. And if Jacobs wins predominantly by going forward, and going forward on Triple G is not the right style for him, I think. I think you need to be the perfect guy on the back foot. That's why people think like an Ezreal Mora presents issues.
Look at what Rosado did. Rosado tried to fight on the back foot. It didn't work.
But that's Rosado. No, come on. Like, Rosado can't be on the back foot. Why? He's not a good example of that.
But look at Kell Brook. Kell Brook tried to fight fire with fire, and at least he had.
But unfortunately, he's too small. That's why we don't have weight classes.
Not Jacob.
If Kell Brook was a couple inches taller and bigger, like a Daniel Jacobs, if Daniel Jacobs had the foot speed and the foot movement of a Kell Brook, this may be a different fight, in all honesty.
I'm sorry. I know I'm definitely going to be called a fanboy for this, but if you go back and look at the Kell Brook fight, there's a moment in the first round where Golovkin nearly knocked out Kell Brook with a left hook, right? And I think Golovkin's issue sometimes is, just like Rozier said, is once he feels like a guy can't hurt him and he could clearly hurt a guy, I think he tries to sometimes look for that highlight reel knockout punch, which sometimes leads him open to get hit. And then he obviously gets lazy and got hit a lot in that fight. And in my opinion, he lost only one round, I think, which was the second round or the third. I don't know exactly in the top of my head, but I don't know. I just don't see Daniel Jacobs being able to withstand even that left hook. So I agree with Matt. The more I think about it, I think that he has no reason to put on a drama show. I think it'll be a bigger message to the entire boxing world if he smashes out Daniel Jacobs in under three rounds. I'm actually predicting a second or third round knockout for Golovkin because of that. And
Daniel Jacobs has an 88% knockout ratio. I mean,
you was David Lemieux?
To land
a, David
look, look if Daniel Jacobs lands a knockout blow early, I will not be surprised because of his power. But Daniel Jacobs has issues setting up that power shot. And we've talked about this ad nauseum on this show, about how Daniel Jacobs cannot set up that power right at all at times. That's why he struggled in the second Sergio Mora fight, because Sergio Mora figured him out a bit and was able to survive that right hand, because it's easy to negate that right hand, actually. Similar as it's easy to negate maybe an Adonis Stevenson's left hand.
Matt, he flings
a good boxer.
Plenty of people
he flings it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Plenty of people say that guys fight to the level of their opponent. So when Jacobs fought Quillen, he fought up. He fights Mora, he fights down. He'll fight Gennady, he'll fight up.
And you can say the same thing about Triple G then. Your argument can be used against him.
You can, and they do. When he fights Monroe, well, he let him. He's entertaining. He's carrying. When it was Wade, he's entertaining. He's carrying. When it was Brooke, he's entertaining. He's carrying. When it's Lemieux, he's getting defensive behind his jab. So, like, you can say the same.
Yeah, but I also think that I mean, I don't know what goes on in the promotion's mistake. And a lot of people were sour on the first promotion, not myself and not people who appreciate boxing. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Golovkin fan, because if you were not impressed what he did displaying supreme boxing skills and was in total control of that entire fight, you know, you have an agenda, in my opinion. But they were expecting a knockout, or they were expecting, you know, they advertised it as like Hagler Hearns or whatever. And it wasn't like that. It was a boxing lesson. So I think that this pay-per-view fight, I think that he will be looking for that devastating knockout, for that devastating punishment, not a sustained beating. I think he will be looking to put Daniel Jacobs to sleep. And I think that he will not wait for the opportunity to do that. I think that he will be a little quicker at achieving that, especially because he got a name in the ring with him finally. And this name is not a welterweight moving up. He's a middleweight. So I think if he knocks him out, there'll be very few people to question his legitimacy as one of the best fighters on the planet.
Listen, let's get back to the press conference, in the sense that I want to say it wasn't open to the public and there weren't any other fighters or trainers there. Harold Letterman was there. Chris Algieri was there, who I interviewed as well, and we spoke about his role. Outside of that, that's it. You know, Peter Nelson, but you see him, he should be there. But there was no one else there, and it wasn't open to the public. Doesn't it suffer? I mean, Canelo's in touch with his fans because he's open to the public. I remember when he had the press conference with Cotto, and even with Floyd, with everybody. He's out there. He's, you know, his press conferences are open to the public so that they can see him. What, this is now the second time. I remember the Lemieux was just like this, private. Why do you think that's so, Matt? And do you think that the promotion is suffering from this?
I've seen this happen in numerous press conferences. It usually happens for more lower level press conferences, actually, not for pay-per-views. That's why it is kind of shocking, because usually they would want that almost public atmosphere to sort of get a more like an atmosphere around the press conference. There was almost lack of atmosphere at times, especially when like Tom Loeffler is on, because Tom Loeffler is kind of dry in a sense. But I think this doesn't hurt the promotion in a long term if you are very diligent on promoting this through digital media, because that's how people will see it. People aren't going to see it on TV, because what is ESPN going to cover this? No, you know, no mainstream sports outlet on regular, you know, cable like news is going to like talk about this. So it's going to be digital media. So if they have a huge presence, then that's good. But unfortunately, there was technical issues on their feed. Like if you go to YouTube on HBO Boxing account and they have this press conference, there's a bunch of static in the first like 10, 15 minutes. The first 8 minutes, the ring car girls on a hot mic talking about boys. And it's just like, it's just kind of interesting. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of almost low level. And there's like, they have the big screen up top, right? And they have a single camera there that pans to it. And that just in and of itself kind of looks low level. Like the UFC, they cut to a dip. They have different, you know, streams, so they cut to the promo. So you don't have a camera literally panning to it, because that looks bad. So if they clean that stuff up a little bit, I think it would be presented better and it would have more effect. But I think there are some issues they need to address for the second press conference, which will be in LA.
I think they're being cheap, just like choosing only two cities.
Oh, yes, you're right. I think that is why it is.
I think they're being cheap and not providing the space and the security necessary to allow fans to interact with these fighters. So I think that they decided to hit the two cities with the least amount of money, with the least amount of technology, and hope it works, right? But it is important to note that I don't watch basketball like I used to, because I don't have the time, but they were shown at the Knicks game last night with Michael Buffer. Both of them are at the Knicks game. And I wonder if the broadcast locally that they had them, you know, display them. I like I said, I didn't watch the game, but that's what pretty much began the press conference. Last night they were at the Knicks game, which is in the Garden, the Madison Square Garden, which is where the fight was, which is where the press conference was. And then they're going to go to L.A. Maybe they'll go to a Lakers game or to some other event out there before going to the press conference, similar to what they did. So I hope that they put them on broadcast and at least got some other attention, because, you know, they're not being accessible to the fans. So it seems, you know, that they're booking on the internet, which was successful because it was trending on social media. And, you know, it's interesting to see how it does.
Now, Jacobs is going to be holding his training camp in the Kings gym in the Bay Area, where Virgil Hunter holds camp. And he's leaving tonight, which fucking sucks for me. Yeah, so they're going to do the L.A. press conference tomorrow, and I think he's staying there is what I'm being told. Rozier is leaving next week. I think that they suffer by not opening it up to the public. It was Madison Square Garden, for God's sakes. I have behind-the-scenes footage to show you how they, you know, closed it down to a lot for this amount of people, and how many seats were still available for this amount of people, which could have been filled with screaming, adoring fans. Now, here we got the face-off. So if you're not watching this on YouTube, you can obviously come back to YouTube. And when you do, hit that thumbs up button for all my iTunes and TuneIn Stitcher guys listening. Jacobs is bigger, but boxing's taught us that height doesn't mean much. The last real middleweights were Lemieux and Murray, like legitimate middleweights, right? And both, what? How many rounds did Lemieux go? Because I know Murray went 10, right? Didn't Murray go 10?
Yep.
Didn't Murray go 11?
He might have won 11 rounds, you're right.
I think he went 11.
Then you got that suspect chin of Jacobs, though. So, man, it's just, I wonder. He's such a strong guy, though. Like, I've watched him work out. You know,
Ness, do you, reading body language, do you think Jacobs looks a little tense? And it's just a presser. And
no, I actually think that he has something to prove. I wish we could have played the audio, but obviously we wouldn't have been able to hear ourselves or, you know, talk over it, and it sounds horrible.
I don't think he looks tense. I think he looks like he understands the magnitude of this. I think they both did. I think even Triple G was like even saying like, wow, you know, this is big, you know, like. They understand that whoever wins this is the number one middleweight.
Nah, not Triple
G. There is no rematch clause.
Triple G is getting a bit of personality nowadays, man. I'm telling you, it was more like, I've been here before already. You know, it's like, yeah, Jacob's big. Everybody's big. It's like he's there already. Like, he just wants to fight. You know, he's tired of the talking. You know, he's not the best talker either, right? So. But when you ask about, you know, Canelo, you know, he's dismissive. When you ask about Jacobs being, let's say, his best opposition or bigger than him, longer reach, like, questions were asked. They did something that they, you know, used to do back in the day, or that they do primarily for post-fight press conferences, which is pass the mic around and stuff. And they allowed certain reporters to ask certain questions and things like that. But
But it wasn't an extended period of time. Like, I know for the UFC, and I know you don't like me comparing it to the UFC, but they do promotion very well. And their whole pre- and post-fight press conferences are mainly
you can see how many
are mainly media questions. There's nobody getting up on a – there's no fighters getting up on podiums and talking for extended periods of time. There's no trainers doing that. There's no managers doing that. It's all media questions.
Well, let me at least bring up something else Ness said. Is, you said Daniel Jacobs – looked bigger. I don't even think he looked bigger. I just think he looked taller, because I think Golovkin looked much more of the
your boy Hollywood. He know.
I think Golovkin looked much more of the I guess stockier, muscular opponent. Did you not catch that, Ness? I mean, look at the shoulders. Look how big they are next to each other.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, man. Like I said, Jacobs. I've watched him train. He's
ripped. Yeah, but I'm talking about frame. Well, there's a difference.
That's phone lines because I got to get out of here. I got a lot of stuff to do. Got a lot of videos. We're going to get to, and we're going with like about 30 seconds to it. That's it. We got the move.
I told y'all a long time ago, the curtain will go down 3 rounds.
All right, man. Stop those curtains. Stop me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Milkman, what's going on, brother? Uh-oh. Milkman. Willy Wonka, talk to me.
Yeah, hello.
What's up, brother?
What's going on?
We're talking some Gennady Golovkin, Daniel Jacobs, New York City press conference.
Yeah, I watched that press conference. Fucking, it was like watching one of the Klitschko's press conference.
That's a good one, caller.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any excitement. The trainers didn't go at it. The fighters didn't go at it. I mean, the level of respect, it's there, so it's tough. Uh-oh, I might have to go backwards here. I don't want you guys seeing my reading Chris's lips there on the secrets he's giving out into Team Jacobs.
It looks like Algeria's trying to get the flow after he retired. You know what I'm saying?
Algeria's looking good, man. He's got something cooking.
Well, I'm glad to see that he's making himself marketable as a nutritionist, avocado and all. But why does Daniel Jacobs need a nutritionist? He's been a pro for how many years at a high level? It's really
weird.
Well,
that's why, right? I mean, if you've been a middleweight for this long, I mean, Jacobs is, what, 29 years old? And why is it going to hurt? I don't understand your, you know, glass half empty, pessimistic self. Like every time, oh, why does he need to bring Virgil Hunter in if he's so good? Oh, why does he need a new I mean, those are like dumb questions, right? Like, shouldn't the best try to, surround themselves around the best? Floyd uses a cryo chamber, right? Like people, you know, there's, why not?
How would you feel if Floyd Mayweather brought in a new trainer for a different look? I mean, you would be like, why is he doing this?
Well, he always did that. He used to bring his uncle in, remember?
Yeah, but that's back and forth. But
no, and it's not different because that calls
turmoil. The nutritionist is less important to me. That was more like a joke. I'm really, listen.
Yeah, but my analogy is still good because Roger caused turmoil between the family, my friend.
You don't fix what's already there.
Hey, let's not call Jack anymore. Let this guy go.
Willie, go.
Yeah, that can work both ways. Remember,
Willie, you're breaking up, brother. Walk by a window or something. Give us some love here.
Can you hear me now?
A bit better. Go for it.
Yeah, I say that thing can work sometimes and sometimes not. But anyways, it just generates more interest in the fight. I'm more interested in the fight now. He's got Chris Algieri and he's got Virgil Hunter and all that. Just creates more interest. More people talk about it. Nothing harms it.
I agree with you, Willie. Listen, we got to go. We're keeping it short. We're only giving everybody 30 seconds. We got to go. We're going to go back to Milkman. Talk to me, my friend.
Yo. It's a little bit, I think Danny has a chance if he fights Triple G on the inside, smothers him like Ward usually does. If he does that, he might win, and I think the left hook might do it for him. Still thinking.
Milkman, did you watch the press conference on HBO stream?
No, I missed it. Should I watch it?
Nah, I mean, if you're going to watch it, watch mine's anyway. Let me get to some other callers. We're going to Donald from Richmond, California.
What's up, y'all? I think that, I think he has a chance just depending on what he does, but I'm going to just use my time for something else. I really want to see if I can make it to that party that y'all got coming up. But I got some stuff going on with work. I don't know how long you're going to extend it for. But maybe if you can extend it to maybe like the 30th, then I might be able to make it because I don't know as far as work. also, I wanted to find out some more information about doing one of them shows with you guys too. But I think that it's going to be the same thing he did with David Lemieux, because I was just looking up some things. You know, David Lemieux was like 34-2 with 31 knockouts with a KO percentage of 86%. Now, Daniel Jacobs is 32-1 with 29 knockouts with the 88%. As far as what we both know, Lemieux and Jacobs, they're both punchers. So I think Golovkin is probably going to do the same thing, maybe adjust a little bit more different as far as what he does to Jacobs. I do give Jacobs a fair chance because I don't want to sit up here and because I'm a Golovkin fan.
Uh-oh, Donald, ain't that show. You way over on them 30 seconds. But we're looking for people that watch this press conference, that seen these two guys interaction. Marcus,
or you could talk about kind of the internet of buzz around it, because again,
Marcus, I'll be right back. I'm sorry, I got my ringer, and that means he cuts the line, and he just did it yesterday, so I have to at least show him that.
Yeah, and let me just say that again. You guys could talk about more of, like, in addition to the press conference, I guess the media buzz, whether it be on the internet or wherever else you've seen, because that's interesting. It's all involving the first press conference.
Unfaded, what's going on, my friend? Just became a ringer yesterday, already putting it to action, man. Did you get to catch this Gennady Golovkin Daniel Jacobs press conference? And if not, are you watching our show live so you could catch it?
Yeah, I'm watching your show live right now, but I just want to talk about the fight real quick. I think a lot of fans are counting Danny out, but Danny, hearing word from the camp, he's very confident, you know? He's very confident himself. I think Algeria is a good addition to the camp. They're not asking Chris for boxing advice. They're asking Chris to help Danny with his nutrition, because right now Danny's weighing about 190 pounds outside of camp. So he's going to need to slim down hard. And Chris, he has a master's in nutrition, so you have to respect his knowledge about getting in shape, watching his diet. But Danny, Golovkin's never seen anything like Danny before. Danny's bigger than him, 3 inches taller, 3 inches reach. He can box and he can crack too. But the other side is true too, that Danny's never seen anything like Golovkin either. So, you know, it's a good fight. You have to give a slight edge to Gennady because he is undefeated, 17 straight title defenses. So it's a 60-40 fight, you know, but I'm excited. I hope they start building the momentum. I agree with what you guys said. They should have opened up the arena to the fans to build a little more electricity inside the arena.
Call me now.
Buzz a little more. But like,
total mistake. Total mistake.
I think it's a good fight, and you guys are doing well, yo. I'll call in another show another time, man.
All right, Unfaded, man. Thanks for calling in. Unfadable, actually. Thanks for calling in. And definitely thank you for upgrading on Patreon to the ringer. I'm hope you're enjoying cutting the line as you did. Let me get back to Marcus.
Yeah, and I just want to say that 190 pounds, I cannot confirm or deny that, because that is the – I've never heard that. That's a lot of weight. Never heard it.
That's too much weight, too. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I don't think that's – maybe 180.
Is it possible that Daniel Jacobs is weighing 190 today at the press conference? Because I know that Timothy Bradley gets up to 180, and he used to fight at 140 and 147. So
Daniel Jacobs is usually very slim. Timothy Bradley's a bulky guy. That's why he has mass. Daniel Jacobs doesn't have that mass.
I probably put him at about 22 pounds over the 60 limit. He's about 22 pounds over the 60 limit walking around. He don't walk around any heavier than about 180, 185 maybe. But he got to remember, he's just coming off a fight in September. So if he got that much out of shape between September and they were negotiating the fight in December, then whatever happens to him is going to happen to him. So I don't know if he's that heavy. I will say he is a big middleweight, though. Everyone knows that. But just real quick, I started to watch the press conference, but I had to turn it off. Here's just one thing I want to say to people, and I think I agree with what Matt said, is that he does seem like he has a hard time setting his power up on more skilled fighters. They said he fights up to his competition. But I don't even know that I can gauge that just off the Quillen fight, because Quillen just got caught early. So it's not like we actually saw him put in some work for 8 rounds and we saw that he stepped up his game. So, you know, it's a little hard to determine that. But I just want to say one other thing with this, too. Lomachenko's 396-1, and we count how much he has, so much skills and everything else. And Gennady's 345-5, and you never really hear that come in because everyone analyzes his pedigree and thinks he can just come forward.
Oh, Marcus, you're going to have to invest in that boomerang, brother.
And it's also interesting to note that
not that type of show. Remember, we're only giving everybody 30.
It's
seconds.
Interesting to note that those
just your reactions on the press conference. We want to know, did you see it? Did you catch the face off? Which man do you think looks bigger? What advantages has your point of view changed? Are you still picking Golovkin? Are you still picking Jacobs? 30 seconds though, guys, because I got video to edit and video to put up so that you guys could watch. 504 Josh from New Orleans.
Yeah, I didn't watch the press conference, but I'm just going to take my 30 seconds on picking my own prediction. I'm still going with Golovkin. However, I do hope Jacob's size and height advantage and reach and athleticism does show up fight night, and his determination is enough to beat Golovkin. Golovkin still had that thing that he haven't really fought top competition, so it's still open for Danny Jacobs to be a problem and see what he possesses. As far as Danny Jacobs winning 190 pounds, I can believe that. James Kirkland used to come down from 200 pounds to 154. So I mean,
yeah, but Kirkland has trouble making 154. Like, that's been a known thing.
That's just what it is.
See, Josh, just
for the college, Kirkland's not the best example for cutting weight. That, like, for all you callers out there, all you listeners, do not use Kirkland as
an example. It doesn't matter, though, Matt. We've seen other guys in lower weight divisions suck down from higher weights, but Jamar from Florida, talk to me.
And these guys are being body tested too.
Oh my God! Wait till you hear my interview. You know that hold on, Jamar. We're gonna give you your full 30. But let me just tell you. You know that was the two. Guess what was the main reasons this fight was taking long to happen?
Body testing. Body
testing.
Body testing.
And on whose part would it be, Dexter Gibbs?
On Triple G's.
And what evidence?
It was a major sticking point for Jacobs' team for Triple G to be doing VADA, and it took long.
But why would that be a big deal?
You want?
Why would that be a big deal?
Of course, that's a storyline they want to put out.
100%. Who's done VADA? Who's done VADA testing?
Can I finish without you jumping to conclusions? And the interview is there. You know what I'm saying? But they only had two sticking points: VADA testing for Triple G. Because and I think this is what I got from the interview. They want him to look just like he looked in the Brook fight and that money. But let me get to Jamar.
Like, that money is like an afterthought of like the test that it's just a propaganda machine. That's
Jamar. Don't let them take your 30 seconds. Go.
Hello. All right. So for the fight, man, I didn't see the press conference, but still we're talking about the fight. I feel like the Danny Jacobs knockout ratio is going to play a tiny part, but it's not going to play a whole. He got to have his mental game ready up, and Andre Ward better teach him how to clinch, wrestle, anything, and try to clinch or something like that, and just hit him in the balls or something.
You got 6 seconds. 4, 2.
Oh, well, I wish him the best of luck.
All right, brother, let me get to Joey in Indiana, former WBC TV.
You know, it's xenophobic to assume that Golovkin's on juice because comes from Eastern Europe. Xenophobic from Daniel Jacobs' camp.
Yo, hey.
It's on you,
yeah,
Joey.
Okay. Hey, Ness, real quick. I'm happy that I didn't get to see it because I was working. I was just trying to keep it up on Twitter. But was Chocolatito there? I heard they announced Gonzalez on the undercard.
Nah, he wasn't there.
Nah, he was there. Ness just couldn't see him.
Okay. Nah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there.
Hey, Ness, I'm just disappointed, man. The press, this is New York City, man. They need to open that up to the public so more people could come out. It's a big fight. And damn, did they at least serve you a good lunch for the press, man?
No, nope.
I mean, it ain't open up.
No lunch, no lunch, no nothing. But you know what was worse though? At least we knew about Golovkin Jacobs' press conference. I didn't even know that Broner was having a press conference today. And whose idea?
To be fair, they might have a press conference, or they most likely will have a press conference during fight week, and that most likely will be open to the public. I can see that happening.
Who's
them? Triple G Jacobs.
Yeah, that's the final press conference. Like,
yeah, but like, that could be open up to the public. This is just
but that wouldn't matter because that's the day before.
That wouldn't matter. During fight week is what matters most during the media. This will be forgotten by casuals within a week.
Dude,
easily.
How easy is it for minorities to see a fucking press conference on Thursday and buy a ticket for a fight Saturday instead of seeing it 2-3 months in advance? build up in advance, giving them an opportunity to probably save up for
it. It's not about ticket sales. It's not about ticket sales. Mm-hmm. It's about exposure.
Pay-per-view, I agree. Well, pay-per-view buys. $50 pay-per-view.
But by fight week, the place is going to be sold out. They're not worried about ticket sales at that point. Come on. What are you talking about? Triple G. He sells out MSG.
This is exactly
worried about pay-per-view buys.
Exactly why it was closed to the public, and this is exactly why it was only two cities. Because of weirdos like you that say it's Triple G. Come on. That's why it's fucking pay-per-view did $150,000 last time. Promote.
You mentioned selling it out and ticket sales. I'm saying press conferences have no bearing on ticket sales.
Well, they do.
And if you know that.
They
if
do, you know but that, not in this case necessarily.
Sales have no bearing on pay-per-views, then you should do something to
Any sort of promotional work via media works towards
we know that he can sell 20,000, but we also know that he can't sell pay-per-views, and this is a pay-per-view fight. They need to be promoting this in multiple cities, opening it to the public.
He sold 15,000 less pay-per-views than the pound-for-pound fight of Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev. Let's not act like he's not Terrence Crawford bad. He's not Terrence Crawford bad. Manny Pacquiao sold 150,000 pay-per-view buys once. Twice, actually. He did that twice.
Let me get to some other callers. Jay Steele, talk to me.
Yeah, what up, though? What up, though? I didn't get to see the press conference or nothing like that, but I feel Jacobs need to do more to get himself out there. I see that they put him and Triple G. They was at the New York Knicks game during the halftime. That was nice with Michael Buffer and whatnot. But I think Jacobs, being a Brooklyn native, needs to align himself with some of the BK rappers and whatnot. You know what I mean? Get himself out there. Maybe get on social media a little bit more, because the casual fan really don't know Jacobs, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm expecting this pay-per-view to do a max of maybe 250K, you know what I mean? And that's about it.
Well, how do you feel that he's leaving right now to go to the all, you know, the Hidden Lions Dem in the Bay Area? Because he's not doing what you said, because he's doing his whole entire training camp where Andre Ward fights, boxes out of.
Well, that's another interest there, because I hear he enlisted three Eastern European fighters that have really no kind of, they're not really close to even Golovkin style. Ivan Krytov.
Even Heatraff.
And two other guys.
Even Heatraff and Sergey Devchenko.
Yes.
Or Ivani. It sounds like Ivani. But listen, Jay Steele, baby, it's only 30 seconds. Since they ain't that type of show, I got to get to work. GT Kid in Atlanta, go. 30.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about the fight. I don't understand how Vada could be a holdup. If he's already WBC champ, so I don't understand how Vada could be a problem. He's got to be on Vada already. And, Keith Connolly is talking about second round. People are going to know Jacobs is different than, you know, anything Gennady's ever seen. Gennady's in trouble. It's ridiculous, man. I'm out.
At least you watched the GT Kid. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go to Russell, who's recently a Patreon subscriber. So obviously we want to thank you for that. Russell, I'm sure you caught this press conference. I know how you feel about Triple G.
Yeah, I did. I'm in between guitar students right now, so I'll make this quick. I caught it. I think the Vada thing's kind of interesting, because Triple G's done it like four times already. I don't understand why that would be a hang up on his part. Is that what they told you?
Well, I'm going to put out the interview. I asked them what were the reasons or what give, I told him, give me like one reason. And then he immediately jumped to Vada. So after Vada, I said, what was the next? He said the money. So when I asked, was there a third? He obviously said that there was nothing else. Yeah. But, I'll put it out, so I don't paraphrase. I'll have it out here between, you're West Coast, right? So shouldn't be long. You'll get it in a few hours.
But it's not going to change my opinion of the fight. I still see Triple G in 6 to 8 rounds. At the most, I think the chin's going to be an issue. I don't think Jacob. I've not seen Jacobs fight off the back foot. And actually, I don't think that's a good way to fight Triple G. I think that his style feeds off of boxers who fight off the back foot if you try to move. I mean, if you watch the Willie Monroe fight, the only success Monroe had is when he got in close. Anytime he tried to box, so look what happened in the second round, he got dropped by a left hook. So, like I said, that's how I see it. I still see Triple G winning. But it'll be interesting to watch because we haven't seen him fight a guy with at least this, you know, with the athleticism and the punching power, I guess is the way I'll say it.
Russell, let me get to some others, brother. 30-second call show. We got to get to Larry from the Bay.
It is interesting to note for a fact that Triple G in his toughest fight to date, unquote, was under VADA testing. So I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And that was against David Lemieux. I mean, we could do more investigation about that and maybe do a show about that. But I think that's Jacob's team with some propaganda, honestly.
All right. Larry from the Bay, propaganda.
Propaganda, I heard that. Hey, big up to the Boxing Voice. Real quick, I did see the press conference. And I thought Jacobs was a little tense, a little uptight. When Coppinger asked him about knocking out, going for the knockout earlier, trying to box him, I wanted to hear Jacobs say, yeah, man, I'm coming out to knock him out ASAP like I did Quillen and to really throw some fire into the press conference. But his answer was really, well, hey, you know, whatever comes, we'll do that and we'll take that. And I just thought that was an opportunity to kind of take the lead in terms of the intimidation game. So I wish he had said that and came out a little more animated and fired up. But I think he didn't do that because he doesn't have the kind of confidence he did going into the Quillen fight. However, that's why they get in the ring. We will see come fight time. Keep coming with the shows. Appreciate it. I'm out.
All right, Larry. You know, we're going to have to do when do you think is the right time, guys, to do – you know, obviously as it gets closer, I'm talking March, sometime in March, but when would be the right time to do a pay-per-view prediction show, right? Like Gennady
the week of.
Versus
week of.
Daniel Jacobs.
Yeah. It's interesting. It has to be the week of. You have to analyze, you know, and it should be very close to it because,
I'm just saying to get
we expected work. Yeah. I think one of the reasons why we're not surprised that the Ward Kovalev bombed is because there was zero mainstream buzz going into the fight.
Yeah, but those guys aren't known. Like
well,
these.
There might not be. Well, going into the fight this week, the week of, we could assess the buzz, and I think that's really where we can make an accurate prediction. But like I said, I expect it to be – it's 100,000 range, but I expect it to be between 200,000 and 300,000. That's my prediction right now. But I guess I could tighten it up when we get closer, so I could hopefully –
813, you're live on TBV. Who's this? 30 seconds.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug from Florida, man. First time calling you. Subscribe on YouTube. What's up?
Oh, Doug. All right. Well, let's give us – how long you been listening?
Oh, man, I've been listening for like about a week now, man. Found you guys just going through the videos and then listening to you guys, man. You guys are good, man.
Only a week. Wow, that's amazing. All right. Well, then, damn, you don't know the tradition and stuff like that. You've already introduced yourself. We're still going to play this in first-time caller introduction, and you could go ahead, introduce yourself, and take off with your call.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Doug from Florida, what up?
So yeah, talk, man, to us, Doug.
I did see the press conference. I thought it was kind of boring. Like I think somebody had mentioned, it was, you know, I think the guys have a lot of respect for each other. I did notice that Jacob did look a little uptight, but as far as body language, I don't know. It might be me. I did see that Triple G did kind of feel like the whole event was kind of getting to him. He had like that little awkward smile. That might just be me. As far as like it not being open to the public, I think the anticipation of the fight trying to be done in December and everybody was all disappointed, kind of like had a little bit of a buildup to help it with, you know, the fight coming up. So maybe that's why I was trending pretty well on social media. Another thing that it really excited me about the press conference was they announced that Chocolatito fight, man. Excited about that. And as far as my prediction, I think I give Jacobs a chance. I don't think he's completely, you know, like not going to win it, but I just think that Triple G is a better all-around fighter as far as ring generalship and IQ. Not the best defense, not the best speed, but I just think he's just a better all-around boxer, man. That's all I got, man. Thanks.
Dog, thanks for calling in, brother. I want to thank everyone that called in. This was our Gennady Golovkin middleweight madness versus Daniel Jacobs, the Miracle Man, for the World Middleweight Championship, Saturday, March 18th, live from Madison Square Garden. You know, Michael Buffer was there. We didn't mention that. Buffer was there, you know. Buffer is a huge fan of Golovkin and the Boxing Voice, you know. As soon as he seen him, he was like, I can't even – I wish I could impersonate him, but it was great to see that he listens. It's always shocking when they listen. Fucking Peter Nelson got away from me, man. He's like, yeah, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Let me just say a few hellos. Dipped off on me, Peter Nelson did. I had a nice question ready for him, too, about all this HBO Al Haymon play nice. I want to see more John Molina Crawford type fights where there is no mandatory, but he ducked the question. He was able to get away.
I think a simpler question would have been the 24/7 and the network.
Oh, shit. Oh, there you go. See, this is why you should always subscribe to TBV, because if no one told you, I'll break that news. There is going to be a 24/7 for Gennady Golovkin and Daniel Jacobs. I was talking to Tom Lawfer, and you can check my interview or my Patreon, guys. You're going to get to check those interviews tonight, so don't you worry about it.
How many parts did this say?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not even going to do a lot of editing. I'm going to copy the greats like Coogan Cash and just put out the whole fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody got time. But.
So, Matt, you took that L. You took that L, Matt.
Oh, yeah, because he thought there wasn't going to be a 24/7.
He said HBO is not doing 24/7s anymore.
Oh, yeah, you did say that yesterday.
Took that L.
Yeah, I thought they weren't doing that anymore.
I'll take that L.
Who's your source?
I thought I saw that somewhere. I saw that somewhere like months ago. Sorry.
You can't win.
This guy right here has good memory, so you better think twice before you know.
I have shit memory. You know, I have all the calls out there. No, I have shit memory, so you can correct me on shit that happened a while ago.
I want everyone to know that in the future, past or the present, you can always hit that thumbs up button. I hope that you are all appreciating the show. I know that some of you may not, right? But that's okay. We're going to kill you with consistency. I welcome you back to all those that left. And now you're back. I'm getting you messages in the DMs. I really love it. Appreciate it. Remember, for all my new guys and all those that haven't,
remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Listen, thumbs up, 5 stars. You know, Patreon members, all those are indications that you love the show and want more of it. Today was a spontaneous show. If you want to keep it coming, you know what to do. My name is Nestor Gibbs. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. And you can find the good doctor at?
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
And you can find the evil hipster. Yo, we got to get that done. You know, a little.
Yeah, you got to get my intro done, Ness. I need an intro, man. But maybe. You can find me on Twitter at Mixed Combat News.
Hey, can we get some comments in the chat? Does Matt need some better lighting or a camera? He's looking like
I can do some better lighting.
Why do I feel when I look at Matt, I'm looking at him through like a stocking cap, like I'm a fucking bank robber or something.
Matt, if you remember how long it took Ness to get me an intro, so you know.
Yeah,
Don't hold your breath.
I'm not holding my breath at all, man.
I'm gonna have to make intros like a Patreon reward. You know, they're so hard. But Matt, I mean, just like roughly off the top, I figure like there's a DJ that uses that same Marvel or DC, the evil genius, right? Like we could hook that up with something that says hipster really quick, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I'm down. We can talk about it later. We can talk about it off show.
Or we could just get MD. MD what? Like a Hillary soundbite?
No, he should be DJ SJW.
Yeah, Hillary soundbite.
DJ SJW.
Oh, that's so good. Listen,
man, we're about to be out of here.
I love being a social justice warrior.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, later.